Let us turn in God's Word to Matthew chapter 6. We'll begin reading at verse 22 and read through the end of the chapter as we continue in the Sermon on the Mount. It's one of those, where do you stop in the middle of a sermon? So I think we'll take it to the end, which violates kind of my idea of moving on. But we're getting closer to the end. So let us read together Matthew chapter 6, beginning reading at actually verse 19, and read through the end of the chapter. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Thus far the reading of God's word, may he add his blessing to our consideration of it this morning. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we open God's word this morning, we look at the fact that Jesus says there in verse 24, no one can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and mammon. And yet how often do we as human beings try to do both? I got to have my cake and eat it. I got to do both things. And yet we as human beings cannot do that. And God reveals that fact to us. We can feel it in our own lives, in our own hearts. When we get up in the morning, what is it? Do we say, I want to serve God? Or do we say, well, how can I get through this day? What can I get for myself out of this? Mammon is not just money. Mammon is the things of this world. And we as human beings so easily put our trust in that stuff. Whether it be in a hangar on the hill, or it be in the barn, or in the crop, or the other thing that we put our trust in, I'm going to get out of this what's important. No, what's important comes from God. God gives us those things and their tools, tools to use for his glory. Jeremiah puts it this way in Jeremiah 2:13, my people have hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. And so often we as human beings are putting our trust, our stuff into a bank, into a tank that leaks it out the bottom, that doesn't do anything for us. Where are we putting our lives? What is our trust? Do we put our treasures in the things of eternity in God? Or do we put them in places where, as Jesus says at the beginning of our passage, moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal? The stuff on this earth is falling apart. We get an awesome exchange rate. As Christians, we give our lives in service to God, 60, 70, 80 years, and God gives us eternity in the new heavens and the new earth in glory. It's like handing in cracker crumbs and getting gold. And as Dave Ramsey would say, choose the big number. What's important? What's of value? We as human beings so easily think, that thing sitting in front of my face, that's what's important to me. God says, no, seek first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness and all these other things the world runs after. David says, they follow me. Surely goodness and mercy follow me. Seek first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things shall be added to you. God provides. We talked about that in our call to worship this morning. God is the God who loves us so much that He sent His Son to die for us. Is He going to short us on the small things? And yet, so easily, I think, well, that thing on this earth, that's what I got to work for. That's what it's important. And so the theme that we look at, and it's a theme that we talked about across this whole passage, because it is, God's people use the temporary corrosion-prone things of this world to lay up everlasting treasure in heaven. God's people use the temporary corrosion-prone things of this world to lay up everlasting treasure in heaven. Verses 19 through 24, we take our focus from the world and put it on eternal treasure. And in verses 25 through 34, we're called not to worry, but to seek God's kingdom. So take our focus from this world and put it on eternal treasure. We took a look at these verses, as I said. They're the bridge between the first part of this chapter, the second part of this chapter, to focus on laying up eternal treasures in heaven. Don't lay up for yourselves treasures on this earth where things fall apart, things get stolen. These verses, the things we struggle against every day, our broken world, our broken stuff, our broken bodies, are just reminders that we're falling apart. We know it, yet we try these beauty treatments. We try these, it's going to make you feel better. Whatever it is. Yeah, and they do somewhat. But we need to realize that stuff's all temporary. And that cannot really make us feel better eternally. The things that we struggle against every day, these are the things we so easily put our trust in. And we need to ask ourselves, is this what's really important? Is this what's important and eternal? We need to work for those things which are permanent in the new heavens and the new earth. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where nothing gets destroyed or stolen. You can't lose what you've laid up in heaven. Use the things of this broken world to lay up eternal riches. Like I said, it's like buying gold for cracker crumbs. The time that we have on this earth. And where your treasure is, there your heart will be also, Jesus says. This is another aspect that we need to have in our mind. If we're putting our trust in stuff on this earth, what are we going to think about? That's stuff, right? Yes, God gives people, different people within His church, different amounts of stuff. But don't run and trust in that stuff. Trust in the God who gives it. Put our hope in the God who gives us the breath to use and enjoy it. Think about what we said in the Lord's Prayer. That we need daily bread, even when we have the cupboards full. Because if God doesn't give us the ability to use it and enjoy it, we don't have anything. Where our treasure is, there our hearts are going to be also. And how do our eyes see this world? I struggled as I looked at this. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore the eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. Now I want to back just off a little bit of what Jesus says here. To think about it from our perspective. When you wake up in the morning and you're grumpy, what happens? I don't care what it is. The oatmeal ain't good enough. I don't care what comes, right? It's just not good enough for me. Because I wake up with a bad attitude. Guess what? Jesus takes that to a whole nother level. When our eyes are guided by evil. And there's all sorts of ways in which that can be. When we're guided by envy, I can never have enough. When we're guided by lies, we just don't even know which direction we're all are going. Jesus says, when the blind lead the blind, they both fall into the ditch. When our eyes are guided by wickedness, we're going more wicked. We're not getting better. And how great is that darkness when the truth is not there? It's one of the reasons we got to be reading that Bible. Is because we need the truth. And yes, we get a little bit of a vitamin of it on Sunday mornings, but we need that every day. And as much as I like the Todays, they don't give us enough Bible. A verse is not enough. We need the whole counsel of God, and that means struggling through places where it's hard. Because that's the truth. And there are things there, even in those passages, where we struggle through and say, what's going on? That God, over time, will open to us. The eye is the lamp of the whole body. When we look at this world, how do we look at it? And if that lamp is darkness, and I'm sorry to say for much of the church today, because they don't know what's in the Bible, they don't have an eye to look at the world through. They're looking through darkness. And then they wonder why they don't know which end is up. And Jesus says, you can only serve one master. We think we can figure it out, right? I can make this work. But which direction does the world pull and which direction does God pull? The world's pulling us down. God's pulling us up. And if we think we're going to hang on to both of them, guess what happens? Well, Jesus puts it this way. We're going to love one and hate the other. We're going to be loyal to one and despise the other. We can't do it. And so Jesus says, what are we serving? You can't serve God and mammon. We can't serve God and stuff. We have to serve God as Christians. Yes, we fail. Yes, we fall far short of that, brothers and sisters. But we need to wake up in the morning and grab ourselves and say, I am going to live to the glory of God today. And make that a statement. So easily we roll out of bed and we're running right away. We need as Christians to start the day intentionally. I am going to serve God today. I have struggled with this sin. I am going to, by the grace of God, mortify it, put it to death. Goes back to that idea of the I. Our self-talk, our self-conversation drags so many of us down. Because we talk to ourselves and we say, I can't, and I'm bad, and I'm evil, and this isn't going to work. And God isn't providing enough for me. We drag ourselves down by our self-conversation. I love there are certain brothers when I greet them and I say, "How are you doing?" And they respond, "Better than I ought to be." We need to have that perspective. When our perspective on this world says, "God isn't giving me enough," we're going to be in the doldrums and problems all the time. When we realize what God has given to us, eternal life, eternal glory, we're going to say, "Wow, what an awesome God we serve. What amazing gifts God has given to this miserable sinner." When we get the perspective right, because it is not why do bad things happen to good people, it's why do good things happen to bad people like me. Because all of us are bad. And God's grace is the only reason that I receive anything good. And so instead of running after stuff, we as Christians are called to trust God for the stuff. Don't worry. We as human beings have an epidemic of worry, don't we? I'm not pointing any fingers out that I'm not pointing at myself. We so easily as human beings worry about the stuff of this world. Jesus lays them before us, doesn't he? What am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? What am I going to wear? These are basic needs. These aren't things that Jesus is talking about frivolous stuff, is he? If you studied anything in medicine, you know that you can only live a few days without water, a few weeks without food. These are basic needs. Clothing is necessary, even as nice as it's been. I don't want to be out there without some clothes on. Jesus is not talking frivolous things. And yet, we as human beings put these things first instead of God. Remember, for the Israelites, these things were a big deal. They came out of Egypt into the wilderness, and they didn't have water, literally. How'd God provide water? It came out of a rock, didn't it? You think God can take care of us? We so easily think, "No, God, you can't take care of me. I don't see it." We trust our eyes rather than God. And they spent 40 years in the wilderness complaining. Guess what? I don't want to even imagine. But we so easily spend our whole lives saying, "God, you didn't provide for me what I thought I needed. And you can't provide for me tomorrow what I need too." We can trust God, whether it be the rain for the farmers. And I know, brothers, that it's right now looking kind of dry out there. You think God can handle that? We know He can. God knows. God cares for us. And sometimes, yes, it's through hardship. David says in Psalm 23, "Through the valley of the shadow of death." This is not easy times always. But God also tells us He doesn't send us a needless tear. So we don't need to fear. But seek first God's kingdom. He who cares for the world cares much more for his people. Notice the comparisons there, beginning in verse 26. Look at the birds. They don't store up. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. God cares about sparrows. How many of y'all really care about sparrows? Getting rid of them, right? They don't gather into barns. They don't sow. They don't reap, Jesus says. God provides. God takes care of the birds. Where's our trust? What does he say? "Are you not of more value than many sparrows?" He'll provide. This doesn't mean that we don't work. But that in working, we trust in God's provision. This doesn't mean that when we have symptoms of a stroke or something like that, we don't go to the doctor. We trust in God, first of all, through that stuff. God cares for us, and He will provide what we need. He provides food. Which one of us, by worrying, can change our height? Actually, worrying is probably going to stunt your growth, right? We think we can. I eat all the right things. I'm going to be the best I can possibly be. Then we break a leg. Can't do it anyway, right? In God's providence. We can't make us live any longer. We can't make us somehow grow taller by worrying about it. Luke notes in the parallel passage, if you then are not able to do the least, why are you so anxious about the rest? We can't do anything that makes is going to change this stuff. God provides for us. God directs our steps, and we can trust in Him. We as good Germans want to do it ourselves. When we need to realize God's done it all for us. God's cared for us every moment of every day. We work hard. It's good to be good working, hard-working people. Don't get me wrong. But at the end of that, we also need to realize God is the one who gives the increase. And God has not failed us yet, even if He has allowed us to go through hardships. Great hardships, and He will continue to care for us. And Jesus hits it one more time. Look at the lilies of the field. They don't sow. They don't do anything, do they? If the birds might be talked about as doing a little bit of work, lilies don't. Flowers don't. And yet God makes a powerful comparison. Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. The beauty of the grass, the beauty of the flower. We stick them in flower arrangements and stuff like that. But God sets them out in the field, just gorgeous, doesn't He? And what does He say about them? Today is, tomorrow they're thrown into the fire. What they're there for. Use them. God cares about that grass. You think God's not going to take care of you? Of course He will. He loves us. He gave His Son for us. So don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear. What does Jesus say? After these things the unbelievers seek. Don't spend your time running after that stuff. Certainly, yes, we work, we labor faithfully. We have that good German work ethic. But at the other end of it, God is the one who provides. God is the one who gives us what we need. The world wants the best food. The best clothes, the best things to drink, because that's going to make me better. God's the one who provides for us, and God is the one who makes us better, working in us by His Holy Spirit. Your Heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. We have someone way more able to care for us than we are, and He cares more about our needs than we do. You realize that? And He cares more perfectly about our needs. Not that we need and we think I need that new whatever it is. God says, no, you don't. You got to work on that old one. You need that more than you need the new easy thing. It's good. It's okay. Your Heavenly Father knows you need these things. He is God Almighty. And we labor faithfully, but God gives the increase. We're called to seek first the kingdom of God. Go back to the Lord's Prayer. hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Not mine. Not so that everybody looks back to James Grossman and says, look how important he was. That God would get the glory. That God would get the honor. Seek first His kingdom. And don't worry about tomorrow. Once again, not that we don't labor faithfully, not that we don't plan, but as they say in battle, what's a plan? That's the thing you put on paper until you actually start the fighting, right? Doesn't get you very far. And we plan, but God provides, doesn't He? God cares for us. Trust in Him. Sufficient to the day is its own trouble. Don't borrow trouble from tomorrow. Saying, how am I going to do it? We labor faithfully. Go to the ant. Work. Be faithful. Rome wasn't built in a day, was it? Faithful labor before God is how we get places. And the other end of it is, who provides? God does. Not all my strength, certainly not all my worry, right? Sufficient for the day is the trouble. Work, labor, faithful, trusting in God. And brothers and sisters, God is the one who cares for us more perfectly than we can ever do. And so, brothers and sisters, lay up treasure in heaven using these cracker crumbs we have all around us of our lives here on this earth. That we so easily think, these are what's important. This is what's going to make my life good. When we can let go and trust God and know that He'll take care of us far better than we ever could. What an awesome comfort. When we as human beings so easily want a death grip on it, don't we? I'm going to make it happen. Doesn't happen, does it? God provides. Amen. Let us bow our heads and our hearts before God's throne of grace in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty, most gracious Heavenly Father, we praise You, Lord, for the fact that You care for us better than we can ever care for ourselves. And we pray, Lord, that we would not spend our time trying to wrest that care, to wrestle that care out of Your hands, thinking we know better than You. But rather, that we, Lord, would rest in You. That we would labor faithfully. That we would work hard with that which You call us to do day by day, day in, day out. But Lord, trusting that You will provide and direct our paths. And that that pathway is not going to be the direction often that we think we're going. But that it is a better path. A perfect path. Which leads to eternal life. We pray, Lord, help us to lay up treasure in heaven. Using the crumbs, the brokenness of this world, to lay hold of eternal treasure for the kingdom of Almighty God, of Your glory. We pray, Lord, that we would truly seek first Your kingdom. And we pray, Lord, that we would trust in You to provide for us all that is necessary for life here on this earth and for eternity. And we pray these things in Jesus' name, who said these things. Praying as He Himself taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.